Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about the difference between wholesale and retail transactions.
There's a difference? Hey, you keep saying I'm crowding you. Am I okay? You want to come a little?
No, you're fine.
Am I okay? All right, good.
It's all good.
Okay.
Both of our shoulders are in the frame. It's perfect.
Cool. Nice.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Brian asks, I'm looking at picking up 6 adjacent parcels in Riverside County, California, in a developed area that has other small apartment complexes in the same block area. This is a high density zoning as well as SFR residential, and I would like to target developers interested in putting in apartments. How would you recommend finding such potential buyers?
This is a great question, and it's the kind of question I love answering on the show because it's a complicated question on the face of it and very advanced, let's say. But the answer is so simple, and the answer applies to every person who's listening to this that's ever owned a piece of real estate or aspires to own a piece of real estate. When you find specific use property like this, high-density residential apartments, they're very specifically zoned typically, or there's a range of zones like multi-unit 1 to multi-unit 4, that kind of thing, just for sake of argument. In that county or in that zip code or the adjacent zip codes are going to be other owners that own property that you can see in the data based on how it's zoned or being used. I mean, and I'm talking about in less than 2 minutes, you can find these, but you already pulled the data.
Right.
You sent the mail out. These are the people who are going to buy these properties. And if they don't, 50% of all property gets sold. All property and all property types get sold to people who live or work in the immediate 1 mile radius of that property. And our small apartments and specific specialty use properties, no different. If you talk to anybody who owns any type of real estate or any business for that matter, they're going to say one of two things. If I had two of these companies, I'd be done. I love this company. I love going to work there and it's great. Or I hate this apartment building. If I could sell it right now, I would. It's just not working. So by sending a letter to these people, whether it's companies or like-kind owners, you're looking for the ones who say, man, I really want another one, or another, I'm looking for another development project. This one's really close to the one I already own. You're going to smoke those people out really quickly. This kind of deal is how I started in real estate back in the early 90s before the internet and stuff. It's a very special, in my case, it was healthcare facilities like assisted living buildings and stuff. It's specialty use. There's only a limited number of owners in certain markets, and they're going to buy the stuff if they're happy with the one that they already have. So you can make a whole career out of this. I did for a decade and did extremely well. Huge amount of seed capital to put into the companies that Jill and I now have. We've never had to take on any debt because of that. So you put yourself in a great spot. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but you're sitting in a good situation.
That was fantastic. I have zero to add.
That's unusual. Today's topic, the difference between a wholesale and a retail deal.
And I have zero to add. Just kidding.
This is the meat.
I have like 100 to add.
This is the meat of the show.
Uh-huh.
I overtook that question because I know Jill's got hours of stuff to talk about. The difference between a whole, let's define them first.
Okay.
I'll define it and then you go.
Okay.
You send out a bunch of mail, whether it's houses, infill lots, land, no matter what. A bunch of purchase agreements come back, tons of phone calls come back, and there's 2 or 3 or 5 of them in there that you love, that work financially, and you buy them. You have two choices. You can mark it up and sell it to somebody else who kind of does what you do for a living but has a different take on it. In the case of a house, it would be somebody who isn't a data person at all, but they're an interior decorator or a contractor, and they love to renovate houses. So you sell them you mark it up for a reasonable amount of money and resell it to them very, very quickly within weeks. There's no real estate agents involved. Or you can say, and we've done this recently, this house needs nothing, and we got a smoking deal on it. Let's replace the carpet, list it on the MLS, and play the retail game.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes months. And there's heartache and pain and talking to real estate agents and end users and arguing over HUD ones and all kinds of stuff. That's a retail deal.
Yep. Oh, don't forget agents are involved.
How's that for a biased description of hotel and retail?
And wholesale, the beauty of wholesale I love is that you're dealing with like-minded people. You know, I'm an investor, they're an investor. We all think the same way. We want to get it done. We don't need to spend money on unnecessary commissions. That money needs to be spent on the asset so everybody gets more out of it.
Unnecessary commissions. That's the name of a show next week. If I was a lead singer of a group, I would call it Unnecessary Commissions.
That's awesome. I should just get a t-shirt that says commissions with a whole circle and a line through it. So yes, and that's the thing. You're dealing with a like-minded person. The retail, and you did a beautiful job explaining it. I think most of us know how that is. You know, we see it on HGTV all the time where they walk in and go, oh, it stinks in here. I couldn't possibly live in this house. Really? You don't think we can't clean this? We can replace the carpet. We can repaint. We can pull down that ugly wallpaper. We can even move a wall, make a closet there if you want it. You know, all those things can happen. And that's the retail.
Here's the financial. Were you done? I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Here's the financial implications of both. You know, I'm going to use an example. Here's just throw out numbers. We buy a property for $50,000. We know it's worth $200,000. I can wholesale it out to somebody for $100,000, double my money, make $50,000 in weeks, mm-hmm. and move on to the next deal. And get a reputation for that in that environment, by the way.
Right.
Or I know it's worth $200,000. I can clean it up, spend some time, not move walls, but even if it's just, let's say it's just a piece of land. You're not going to do anything to a piece of land. Maybe post it in different places, maybe hire a broker. Post it in different places on the internet, spend a little more time on it.
Get to do some drone shots.
And list it for $200,000, knowing that and how I'm doing this with a broker and stuff is going to attract an end user.
Right.
And that's where the problems start.
And
the
sit problems, and wait.
The problems start in real estate. With the end user, whether it's the homeowner who's going to move in and live there,
right.
trying to never deal with them, whether it's the apartment owner themselves
right.
versus the apartment renovator, apartment building owner or manager, and on. So dealing with the customer and the end user is a whole different talent
right.
than what we choose to be, the business that we choose to be in. We choose to just wholesale property out, make a 20 to 100% margin, get a reputation for that in the environment, and just keep doing it.
Exactly.
We're data people, you know? We're not salespeople in our souls.
Mm-hmm.
We just happen to be salespeople by default because we have to get this stuff done.
Exactly.
Retail sucks.
Retail is
not set up. I'm not set up for that's not my personality.
That's the thing. If I wanted to do retail all day long, I would be a real estate agent because that's really who they're working for and with. They're working with that end user who walks up and goes, "Oh, shucks, I really wanted yellow flowers out front," you know, kind of thing. The curb appeal didn't do it for them, so they're just going to keep on driving. Okay, let's go to the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. That's retail. Wholesale is really, for me too, it's a spreadsheet. It's a line item. You're not looking at the asset like how pretty it looks. You're looking at, oh, what are the numbers on that one? Wow. I mean, even to this day, still with land or houses, we're not looking at them. We are seeing them as a spreadsheet. What is the price per square foot if it's a house? And what is the price per acre if it's a piece of land? That's even to the wholesale mentality. And what's interesting too is I wish that I could find the right agent, because when we do, sometimes accidentally, you get properties where you just know that it's going to be sold retail. That's really the best way to get it done.
You know?
Or you didn't even plan that, but that's who comes to you, is the retail end user buyer. And now and then they'll have an agent. And unfortunately, I wish the agents, it's interesting that I'm dealing with an agent right now. And it's kind of a bummer because he had said, wow, I want to be a wholesaler. I want to be an investor like you. He's never going to get there because he doesn't think that way. He cannot think in the numbers part of it. I said, look, we all know this is the cheapest price per square foot in the subdivision. And he can't comprehend that.
Really?
No, cannot.
Mm-mm. Oh, there's no hope then.
Exactly. He'll never get there.
That's all you're buying with houses is price per square foot. Exactly. You're not actually buying a house. I don't look at it that way.
Right.
If the price per square foot is where it needs to be, the house doesn't matter at all.
Exactly.
That's the person who we're going to sell it to, we're going to wholesale it to. That's their issue.
Right.
And the vast majority of the wholesalers, of rehabbers out there, the people who go clean it up, they want a dead house. They don't want a half-done house.
It's true.
They just want it to be an absolute tragic mess. Because they're going, if you've ever redone a house, you're going to take everything out anyway.
Right.
Even if it's 1985 and totally tenantable, you're still taking it all out and making it 2012 mm-hmm. or 2019. So I've never understood retail at all.
I know.
Retail real estate.
You know what's funny? It's kind of nice. Even my parents didn't operate that way.
Me either.
You know, which is
my
actually really
either.
Good. My parents did not operate
on the
retail
thing.
That's
probably where we got it.
Yeah, my parents, we rented our house forever because that was the cheapest thing. And the person didn't change the rent, so why bother? So my parents, we stayed there for a long time. I was graduated high school. And then they had saved up a whole bunch of money. And what did my mom do? She got a real estate license and bought a house from a bank. And it was only the numbers.
Jeez,
and it was a disaster.
I never knew that.
Mm-hmm. Bought it from the bank. You know,
that's why you're crazy like that.
Oh, I have that. Gotta win. I gotta win.
Me too.
That's it. I gotta win financially. I don't care. I remember my mom and her girlfriend spending, you know, all weekend one time ripping off this horrible, you know, 1970s wallpaper that was all over the house because it was all about the numbers. The house needed all kinds of work. But you know, it was the square footage and it had a pool and it was the location that they wanted. And it wasn't even that exact street. Again, the numbers did the talking. So, yeah. So that's probably where I'm sure I know a lot of that. And you too is how we were raised, you know, where we got this mindset.
I mean, there's value in both. There truly is. Mm-hmm. We do both types of deals. You know, we do way more house sale deals than we do retail. But once in a while, one sneaks up. And truth be told, every time it does, I regret it. I regret going down that retail path because I know what we could have gotten. Because here's what happens at the end of a retail deal for us. We micro look at the numbers involved. So, and it always goes back to, wow, we got it. You know, we really did sell this house for a lot more, or this piece of land than we purchased it. But we had all these carrying costs. We had all this angst and talking. And there's agents involved. And they love the process more than the end, like we talked about yesterday mm-hmm. or 2 days ago. And so it's like, man, if we would just would have wholesaled this out, like we always do, we probably would have ended up making more money. I certainly had a lot more fun.
Right.
So.
You know,
I think there's a lot of people in our group that do great, the opposite. Oh man, I do 5 deals a year and I make $100,000 on each deal and I make $500,000 and I'm happy as a clam.
And that's I was thinking that along those lines that the mindset, the wholesale person mindset like us is, let's just buy it right, sell it right, and move on and do a lot of them. And I like that. Everybody walks away happy. The retail way for me is like, buy it good and then reset the market. I want to be the one that gets top dollar and look at what I did and I'm justifying my existence and I'm justifying this home is worth this because it's the only one around that has a tankless heater and a double oven or whatever you want to call it. You know, it's just like, it's so funny.
I don't know. Tankless heater.
Yeah. So I like those, by the way. You can add that on your house, by the way. So you know where I'm going with that. It's just like, I just don't have the, I can't do it. I don't have the patience. I think it takes patience,
too. It's patience. And when you really, truly look at how money works and how fast it moves and how to make it and all that, there's something driving people who do retail deals. There's something else driving it besides pure money.
That's good.
So it's not just that they're approaching real estate transactions this way and that's their model or their acquisition criteria. There's something below the surface that wants them to reset the market from a price per square foot or in the case of land in a subdivision or in that area to reset it. They want to be the person who can high-five each other. I always envision the same person who does that is the same person who works at an auto dealership right when they sell a car for sticker price. And that customer drives off, they high-five each other and say, oh my gosh, we screwed that guy good.
That's how I feel.
We haven't screwed a guy like that in a transaction in a long time. Congratulations, congratulations, congratulations. That's how I see retail real estate. You know, and I don't think that it's an extreme example. I do think that there's a subsection of people who do never. They want to move into a house, the end user, and it is perfect. Mm-hmm. Their favorite song's playing, and they move in their toothbrush, and it's done. Mm-hmm. And they're happy to mm-hmm. pay $5,000 more a month, or whatever the number's up. Mm-hmm. It's usually $300 more a month than they would have if they had to, you know, move into a regular house. Mm-hmm. And so they understand that, and maybe they're off doing some other type of job, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. So it's not that extreme, but we're in the business, you know? We're in the real estate business. And I just think hosing people and resetting the market is just not part of the language that we should ever be talking about or using.
I know. It bums me out. It just makes me sad. I don't think that
me
way.
Too. And that's how I see
can't get it.
That's how I see retail.
Yeah.
That's how I see real estate agents. You know, we've all been pitched by a real estate agent to list our houses. And the first thing they say is, okay, we're going to sit down and figure out how to maximize the price that you get for this house.
Right.
And that's where I stop. Because that's not the business we're in. And I think it's disrespectful to the person who's going to buy it and disrespectful to the real estate industry in general.
I agree. I have nothing to add. You're like, no, it's perfect. It's great. I mean, we could go on for hours and I don't, but.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 or 20 minutes listening to the Land Academy show just before Jill cut us off. Join us in the next episode called Illinois Governor Pritzker Property Tax Evasion Investigation. One of my favorite topics.
Really?
this guy's a mess. You're not going to want to miss this show.
Okay, good.
Because like all shows, it's not just about that. It's about what motivated him to do this and how people make decisions and why people make decisions when they're multi-bajillionaires and they're messing with the system. I promise this to be interesting.
Cool. And we answer your questions. Post it on our online community, landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the show tomorrow because I do not know the whole backstory. I know you're going to fill us all in.
When's the last time you've been really wrong in a real estate situation, like in a deal? Assuming you ever should really even talk that much to buyer and seller, like what if you just said, you know what? Man, I made an acquisition mistake on this. Or like where you really just kind of sit, you know those moments in life where you sit yourself down and say, boy, I took this in the wrong direction for a while.
Hmm.
Can you even think back to a time, real estate wise?
No.
Neither can I.
I'm
and you know
thinking,
why?
Like,
because we're driven by doing the right thing.
I won't do the deal. I'll pull the deal.
The biggest tragedies I see that people go through in life is because they see something that's not there.
Right.
They're trying to reset the market. They're trying to like date out of their league, they're just setting themselves up to fail, be disappointed, and extreme cases go to prison, which is what we're going to talk about tomorrow.
Wherever you are watching or wherever you are listening, please subscribe and rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration to buy undervalued property.